Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday, May 15th, 5:26 a.m. Central Time. Grain markets are higher this morning. July corn futures up 2 at 469.5. July soybeans up 5.5 at 12:20. July Chicago wheat up 4.25 at 676.75. July Kansas City wheat up 4.25 at 687.5. July spring wheat up 6 at 739.25. Let's start off with weather.
So the next 5 days will be dry for much of the U.S. Corn Belt. The vast majority of Iowa, Illinois, northern Indiana, Michigan, southern Minnesota, southern Wisconsin, and southeast South Dakota will see little to no rain during this time. Rain is slated to return early next week. From Sunday through Tuesday, large areas of Iowa, eastern Nebraska, northern Illinois, southern Wisconsin, and Michigan could see 1 to 3 inches of rain. Rain will be more scattered in Indiana and Ohio during this time. Farmers in many of these areas may have a window during the next 5 days prior to another period of wet weather. Many fields, however, may need additional time to dry.
Looks like there's going to be a 5-day window. If you guys are watching on YouTube, look at the difference between these two maps. The map on the left is the next 5 days, and the map on the right is the next 7 days of expected precipitation. So that last 2 days of the 7-day period is when you're going to see all this rain return to eastern Nebraska, Iowa, northern Illinois, southern Wisconsin, Michigan. You've still got rain, but lighter amounts and coverage in southern Indiana into Ohio, Kentucky. So I think there's a 5-day window here. And what gets done during that 5-day window, I don't know, but I would imagine, knowing the forecast as most farmers do, they're going to push pretty hard to get things done during the next 5 days before these rains return. That may mean planting in less than ideal conditions for some, because we're kind of up against the clock here. If you guys have thoughts on this, if you're in one of these areas where the rains are slated to come back here, say Sunday, Monday, Tuesday next week, what's your game plan? Is it dry enough? I don't know. It's highly variable. I don't like talking about this broadly and making generalizations, because it seems like even from county to county, there can be a lot of variance. But that's the way that it looks. Looks like, broadly speaking, which I don't like to do, there's a 5-day window here, and we're behind. We need to catch up. Do we catch up during the next 5 days? We'll find out, I guess, something about it on Monday afternoon.
CONAB increased its forecast for the Brazilian soybean crop. The crop agency, which is Brazil's version of the USDA, is predicting this season's crop to reach 147.7 million metric tons, up 1.2 million metric tons from the prior forecast. The uptick in production is due to CONAB boosting expected soybean acres by approximately 1.2 million to 113 million acres. CONAB also increased its outlook for the Brazilian corn crop. The crop is forecast to reach 111.6 million metric tons, up from the previous forecast of 111 million metric tons, but down from last year's 131.9 million metric tons. This year's crop is projected to be significantly smaller than last year due to a reduction in planted corn acres.
Despite the flooding in southern Brazil and knowledge of it, CONAB came up with its soybean production estimate. And CONAB has done this sort of thing in the past, where they'll cut real quickly and then they may come back up a little bit. Whereas USDA, the way that they tend to do things is that they just slow play and kind of walk their way down, and they may not come back up as often. We've still got big discrepancies here between USDA and CONAB, or USDA and the grain exchange in Argentina. They've narrowed a little bit. The Brazil soybean number is still a glaring difference. USDA is 231 million bushels higher than CONAB. Brazil corn, USDA is 409 million bushels higher than CONAB. In the case of Argentina, USDA is 256 million bushels higher with the corn crop there. They've had the disease pressure in Argentina, and the grain exchange there fully acknowledging it, and they may even cut again. Where USDA did acknowledge it to some extent, they came down a couple million last week, but still way above the grain exchange in Argentina. These discrepancies on paper, they could last forever. They don't have to converge. I think you'll see some more convergence, but they may never converge totally.
So if you guys have not checked out our premium content, you need to do so. You won't find content like this anywhere else. Joe, can you tell me about yesterday's video?
We get to just about everything with the premium stuff. We do a lot of grain marketing. We do weather. We do policy. In this case, we're doing taxes and policy with Paul. How does Step Up work for farmers? This is a big deal when it comes to taxes and transition and that sort of stuff. And we have had some requests come in from subscribers for video along these lines. Can you guys simplify this for us? I think Paul did a pretty good job with that yesterday. If you want to see the premium stuff, there's a new video every single business day. Our email goes out at 5 a.m. Central. The video blast for that day goes out at 10 a.m. Central. One thing of note is that our Sunday weather videos are going to start this coming weekend, and Pete Meyer is going to be doing them. So Pete Meyer is going to do our Sunday weather videos, which are going to go out at 6 p.m. Central on Sunday night before the open. So you guys are going to want to be on this list for the growing season here. Pete's going to give you the breakdown of what happened to the weather over the weekend, what his thoughts are on the market coming up that week. That's going to start on Sunday. Check this deal out, guys. $50 per month. Cancel at any time. No other fee, no other obligation. Nobody will try to sell you anything else. Give that deal a shot this morning.
President Joe Biden announced tariffs on numerous Chinese products on Tuesday. The tariffs will be applied to Chinese electric vehicles, steel, aluminum, advanced batteries, solar cells, and medical equipment. The tariffs will be phased in over the next 3 years and will affect approximately $18 billion in current annual imports. Notably, tariffs on Chinese EVs will rise to 102.5%, up from 27.5%. The tariffs are an effort by Biden to appear tough on Beijing ahead of the election. China labeled the tariffs as bullying and said they would impact relations between the two countries.
Last week, the rumor mill indicated that used cooking oil from China would be included in this tariff list, and it was not. So the soybean oil market, which rose sharply into this announcement, fell sharply yesterday because it was not included on the tariff list. So this whole story is kind of a bad deal for farmers in general, I think. You've got two things. You've got the fact that used cooking oil is not going to be tariffed additionally. And then secondly, you just raise tensions with China. China still hasn't bought a single cargo of U.S. soybeans for new crop delivery. Usually they would have started their campaign by now. So some issues here, certainly.
USDA reported a flash sale of corn on Tuesday. U.S. exporters sold 16 million bushels of corn to Mexico. Of the total, 5 million bushels are for delivery during the current marketing year, and the remaining 11 million bushels are for delivery during the next marketing year.
Get some old crop and some new crop, and it's totally normal for new crop export business to begin in earnest around this time of year. Mexico, if I had to bet, will be our largest corn buyer again during the new crop marketing year, so they are just getting started here.
Wholesale prices surged in April. The PPI, which was released yesterday, increased 0.5% last month, much higher than the revised 0.1% decline in March. Economists were projecting an increase of 0.3%. On an annual basis, PPI increased 2.2%, up from 1.8% in March, and its largest jump in a year. The cost of services increased by 0.6% in April, accounting for about 75% of the total increase in wholesale inflation. The rise in wholesale prices has many economists expecting another high inflation figure when the CPI report is released here this morning at 7:30 Central Time.
Inflation a little bit hotter than expected on the wholesale front. 2.2 is the highest since April of 2023. When you look at the actual index, which nobody actually does except for me, apparently, it's at a record high. So if things, this is at the wholesale level, but again, if things feel like they're as expensive or more expensive than they've ever been, they are. The rate of the rise of inflation has declined. The slope has declined slightly. You can see the slope was very sharp from the COVID low there in the second quarter of 2020 up to the peak in 2022. But inflation is not coming back down. Now, there's still a the prices are never going to come down. Prices of everything continue to always get more expensive over time. And the trajectory has slowed slightly. The Fed is between a rock and a hard place here. So there's still a 70% chance that the Fed will cut rates in September. Okay. But if they cut rates, they're going to if they cut rates, you've got inflation implications, I guess. But it means that they're going to, if they do cut, sorry, I'm getting confused here. If they cut, you're going to see additional inflation, which is hugely problematic. It kills the consumer. It's a bad deal. If they don't cut, your interest on the national debt is going to rise to this Bank of America projection, $1.7 trillion per year. And if they do cut, it's still going to be $1.2 trillion per year by April of next year. So this the money printer deal, the fact that we've created so much currency, which has resulted in inflation, is a huge, huge problem. And the Fed is backed into a corner. And I don't know which way they're going to go. I feel like they're kind of screwed either way. Wait and see, I guess. What did cattle do yesterday?
So they rallied yesterday. Feeders closed an average of 420 higher. Live cattle closed an average of 229 higher. Box beef also rallied yesterday in a big way. Choice ended the day at 304.39. That was up 544. And select ended the day at 293.82. That was up 654.
You ever get confused at 5:30 in the morning?
I do sometimes. Oh, gosh.
Anyways, U.S. dollar's a little bit lower this morning. The S&P's up 2. The Dow's up 20. Bonds are up just a little bit. Crude oil is up 7 cents in the June WTI at 78.09. Have a great day, guys. We'll talk to you Thursday.